This evening's scripture comes from the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You've already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." It is one of the frustrating and heartbreaking ironies that our younger generations, at the same time that they tend to be stiff-arming traditional church, by their own admission, they seem to be becoming more and more what they might call spiritual. At the very time that they don't want to come to church, they are nonetheless actively searching for truth and searching for faith. We, perhaps starting in the Reformation, have so deconstructed the traditional church, paring it down, trying to find the essentials, and throwing away what we see as extraneous or frivolous. We have whittled this vine down so far that we find that by the time we have taken off all the branches, there's no longer any vine left. You go to the religion, or I should say what used to be called the religion section in a bookstore, and now you are more likely to find books on self-actualization, books on discovering your inner goddess, books on all the different ways that you can find a heightened sense of spirituality. And occasionally, one of these seekers accidentally wanders into church. Ironically, the last place that so many will actually look for spirituality. It leaves one bewildered, wondering where one can go anymore to be fed, to find life, to discover something deeper. Someone has remarked that it is one of the sins that the church must account for on Judgment Day, that somehow we have taken the most wonderful, life-giving story on earth and ended up making it boring. Perhaps one of the reasons is that we have a somewhat juvenile habit of taking Scripture and turning it into punchlines. Taking Scripture and rendering it down to a one-line morality. We take the story of the Good Samaritan and reduce it down to be nice to strangers. We take the story of the prodigal son and walk away from it simply thinking that we shouldn't be spendthrifts. And yet, my experience has shown me so often that Scripture is so much more than this. That Scripture is composed of deep waters that will reward those who are willing to wade past the shallows and to dive down deeper. Not that there's anything inherently wrong with the shallows. If all that you get from today's scripture is that Christ is the vine, we are the branches, and we need to stay connected to the vine if we want to live, then the gospel has spoken. And we have heard, and praise be to God. But Scripture, even the most deceptively simple ones, I time and again find to be so much more. And if you will risk swimming out into those deeper waters, what you may discover will be limited only by how deep you are willing to dive. I can dive into Scripture again and again and again and again. And on the 21st time that I dive down, I will discover yet another pearl. The waters never become familiar. There are always surprises to be found. Sometimes the waters may seem muddy, such that all we can do is dive down and try to grab on to the first thing that swims by and simply look at it and admire it and ponder it. Today's reading from John, I think, is one of these deep water scriptures. On the surface, it seems like a perfectly accessible and simple agricultural metaphor. I am the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches. If you want to prosper and grow, stay connected to me. But unlike the story in Matthew of the wheat and the weeds, where you might remember the grower is content to let both of them grow side by side. We'll sort it out later. The farmer in today's story is constantly on the prowl, revealing to us a much more sharp-edged truth. Literally, a sharp-edged truth. He prowls through the scripture with a knife, looking to cut off whatever branch does not bear good fruit, or to prune those that do. And it makes my Lutheran grace-infused heart squirm, because it would seem to suggest that I need to get busy and start doing some good works if I don't want to, so to speak, get cut from the team. I better get busy and look fruitful if I want to stay connected to the vine. But perhaps at this point, Jesus would say to me, but Martin, it isn't always about
you.
I don't think these words are designed to assist me or you, for that matter, in trying to figure out exactly who's going to get cut off of the vine, who is or isn't producing fruit. Those branches that don't produce fruit get cut off. But those branches that do get pruned. Either way, we end up getting the knife. These words stand as a blunt reminder to us that God is not an ornamental gardener. God is no gentleman farmer. He's in the growing business, and he's deadly serious about it. He has planted this vine, and he wants it to produce fruit. Now, any of Jesus' listeners would have been well acquainted with this kind of vine imagery. The psalmists spoke about Israel as a vine that had been uprooted from Egypt and planted in the Holy Land, in the Promised Land, there where it was to grow tall and wide, reaching out to the nations. Isaiah and Hosea, the prophets, spoke of Israel as a vine that had been loved and doted on by the one who planted it so that it might be fruitful. And the purpose that this vine was planted was bluntly stated to Abraham, so that it might grow its tendrils out to embrace all of the nations and become a blessing for them. And yet something would always seem to go wrong. The vine would never quite come to maturity. It would never produce fruit, such that it seemed that something must be wrong with the vine itself. Perhaps something is wrong with the stock, and that's why it won't produce any fruit. But now we swim just a little bit deeper into the scripture, and we find that the strong trunk of that vine was grown from a seed, the seed of Abraham, that one, the one that Paul referred to as being as good as dead. But this vine, the vine we hear about today, grows from a seed that truly and completely was dead. It grows out of the tomb. It grows out of this one who likens himself to a seed that must be planted in the ground in order to bring life. It grows out of the empty Easter tomb. And its roots go all the way down into hell, and its branches stretch upward. It comes from stronger stock. It comes from the one who has died and will never die again. It grows from our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a vine that seems to bear fruit from the strangest of branches. Humiliated Peter becomes the foundation of the church. Doubting Thomas ends up becoming the source of the boldest statement as to who Christ is. And in one of our readings assigned for this Sunday, we would have heard about that stranger, that Gentile, that eunuch to boot, who's met by Philip on the road and ends up being grafted onto the vine and goes away rejoicing. And yet I would have looked at these branches and trimmed them off. None of them seemed like promising prospects for fruit. And there again, perhaps the Lord speaks to me and says, well, thank God, it's not up to you. Once again, the story is not about you. It's about the one who sees the ability to bear fruit in even the strangest and darkest of branches. I would have cut them off, and yet the Lord holds them tightly, not only dealing with the branches that grow directly from that trunk, but even welcoming new shoots to be grafted on, so that they might bear fruit as well. I know only too well what kind of branch I am. I know only too well the fruit that I might have borne that I didn't. And yet the Lord has grafted me onto this vine as well. Perhaps that blade will not cut me off, but prune me so that I too might grow. So that you too might grow. For whatever God intends for this vine, I know the one who makes up the trunk. And I know the love that he has shown to me and to all of those that he came into contact with. And so I am willing to entrust myself to this gardener. I am willing to put myself under his knife. Amen.